Don't look now, but the holidays are going to sneak up fast. But it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you cannot find anywhere else. The website is packed with high-quality, unique gifts that are often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. For example, you know those plastic baseball helmets that you can put ice cream in? They actually make those in ceramic. So they're not just cheesy plastic throwaways. They're a more permanent bowl. Ooh, who doesn't want baseball helmet ice cream? Nom, nom, nom. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. From moms and dads, history buffs, diehard football fans, or mixologists, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you will not find anywhere else. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/Zabe for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Hey, you know that feeling when your mind won't shut off at night? Or the stress just keeps piling and piling up? What if I told you there might be a solution that you should check out? How about the folks at CBDFX? They recently sent me some samples. I know all about the CBD phenomenon these days, and I'm curious but a little bit skeptical. Well, I've been trying them out to find out what works best for me. There's a whole range of products, gummies, capsules, topicals, you name it. I've been testing their CBD and CBD night capsules. They're built to get you asleep fast and keep you asleep all night. CBN is what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid and is packed with other natural sleep support. They also make these original mixed berry CBD gummies that have won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards, and they're gentle and they have calming effects. They're great for overall wellness and they actually taste good. Natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been doing this since 2014, so they've got it down. Everything is USA made with organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals, all verified by third-party lab testing. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. Right now, my listeners get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX. That's code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo at CBDFX.com. 40% off using my promo code. Feel the difference with CBDFX. You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie. This is the ZabeCast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. It has been a jumbled week, and I have not had my normal dose of Andy Pollin, but we're about to fix that right now. Andy, thank you for being patient. You always know I'm going to get to you at some point. You don't text, you don't complain, you don't nag, you don't say, hey, what are you dropping me from my normal Monday spot? It's one of the many things I love about you, buddy.
Look, I don't have a very exciting life. So when I get a call from you and you'd like me to come on your podcast, I'm usually available.
You're like, why not? You're cheap and available, which is the phrase that Spurrier used for the wide receivers that he was collecting, including Chris Doering, the former Florida Gator, who I think within months of him being cut went into commercial real estate, probably has done very well for himself.
He's also doing broadcasting.
Is he really?
I did something at NBC Radio, I guess is gone now, but it existed 7 or 8 years ago, and I did a couple of weekend shows, and he was a paid regular on it.
Yeah.
So, he was a nice guy. Nice guy to chat with.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so it's good to talk to you. I was in Vegas, as you know.
Yeah.
And having a good time there. I saw Sage Steele. She sends her absolute best. Mm-hmm. Happened to run into her accidentally at the seafood bar at Catch in Catch? Aria. Yeah, this seafood restaurant at Aria.
Expensive?
It's Vegas. It's one of the higher end resorts in Vegas. Aria, of course, is expensive, but you don't go to Vegas to save money. So I figured $110 meal for myself is better than $100 down the drain at the blackjack table in 15 minutes or less, which can and does happen.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it amazing how you lose perspective over what $100 means?
Oh, yeah. And everything in the whole casino is designed to make you lose perspective of time and money. Yeah. And you're just trying to be wrapped up in the moment. So Sage sends her best. She was very kind to me. She's doing quite well with her own podcast in the wake of what happened with her at ESPN. And she had thanked me and you for giving her a chance on our show back in the day. And I said, I don't think we were like giving you a chance. We needed people. And we could kind of tell that Sage probably had some moxie, probably had some game, right?
She had some bite to her.
Yeah.
She and I are not aligned politically.
Of course not.
But I do like her very much personally.
Yes.
And she was fun, and she was feisty on the show, as I remember. She at the time was working for Comcast Sportsnet covering the Ravens, and part of her job was to interview Brian Billick every week. And a lot of these coach interviews are just nothing but softballs. And she would butt heads with him. I was very impressed with what she did.
Which, as I found out, Andy, you and I have found out, that if the softballs are not soft enough to the coach in his paid appearance with the radio station, they ask for a new pitcher.
Well, two of them did. Spurrier, God love him, he didn't care what we asked him or what we said. He was great and was unbelievably honest. Unbelievably honest.
Yep. Shane doesn't really know the plays.
It was Rob Johnson.
Oh, that's right, Rob Johnson.
And because he was running four wide all the time and his quarterbacks were getting killed, you said, how well does Rob Johnson know
the playbook?
And he goes, Rob Johnson, I don't think he even knows where to turn his head.
That's right.
Yeah, like a day later, he was cut, and they brought in Tim Hasselbeck to take his place, and Hasselbeck had to start a few games for them.
That was where Spurrier was very unsophisticated about the NFL media ecosystem, and he didn't understand that saying something like that, just a little good old country quip for which he was known for, would be grabbed, seized, extrapolated, and then disseminated all across the landscape, and it would look very bad on Spurrier and, of course, Rob Johnson, and then they would have to do something. He kind of didn't understand that everything he said could and would be used for content fodder and maybe against him.
It was pre-Twitter. Remember, he coached 2003.
Right. It was pre-Twitter, but it got picked up by Dan Steinberg in the Washington Post. Other beat reporters picked it up and wrote about it. Other beat reporters heard it and then asked about Johnson the next day.
Yeah.
So
you were off on the last one that he did with us, and I said to him, because he said he was going to come back. Remember, he said he didn't resign until a couple days later from the golf course after the last game. So we did our last show with him going into the last game. And I said, well, since you're coming back, do you have anything that you can offer the fans
for hope them
for next year? And he goes, I really don't. I'd like to say something, get the fans all fired up, but I really don't have anything.
And I remember that answer. He really stalled and he dug deep. Like, he didn't just give you a perfunctory, nope, I got nothing to say, because he knew he was leaving. He actually was like trying to go, and he had nothing.
Nothing.
We won't see a coach like that again in the NFL. We just won't.
Oh, no. No. He, and you know, he might have had a little bit of success if there was some structure, but the problem was the general manager was Dan Snyder and Vinny Serrato.
They were buffoons.
GM, who knows?
You know? Right. But even when they made moves that were defensible, they often rubbed Spurrier the wrong way. Like when they cut Danny Werfel.
He didn't like that
because he trusted Danny and knew Danny Werfel. But Danny Werfel was not an NFL quarterback. Nope. And Spurrier had a hard time believing that because, we're just going to drop some more ball plays here. If we threw it 40 times, maybe next week we'll throw it 50 times.
No, he couldn't believe it. He had this guy at Florida who won the Heisman Trophy and the national championship. How could he not be great in the NFL?
Yeah.
He just wasn't.
All right, let me ask you about the Commanders. What is left to be done this season as the whole thing has fallen apart to tatters?
Well, what they have to do is continue to develop the chemistry between Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin. That's important.
Well, the chemistry, they both got to come back from injury.
Right, but McLaurin is close, and I think Daniels, it's an injury he could play with and probably even play in this upcoming game on the 30th.
And would you want him playing the rest of the
absolutely.
Year?
Absolutely.
Okay, oh, yeah. Got to play.
Absolutely. Both of them play, absolutely. Wow.
If Daniels plays, suffers an ACL, and is out for all of next year, you're okay with that?
He could tear his ACL in practice. It happens. Okay. Yeah, it does. Okay. Teddy Bridgewater suffered a devastating knee injury in practice when he was with, I believe, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Happens. Yeah. So
you could lose your arm if a chainsaw falls off the top shelf of your garage and catches you the wrong way. You'd also lose an arm juggling chainsaws. So they must be the same. Well, juggling chainsaws, chainsaw falling from the top shelf of your garage, same. That's your logic by saying that.
Who juggles chainsaws? What imbecile would do that?
Well, circus performers, for hire entertainers, you know, maybe ice sculpture carvers. They use chainsaws, Andy. But
if you buy a chainsaw,
don't get into the weeds of this analogy. It's just an analogy of dangerous.
I'm going to drive it.
Okay, dangerous activity. Playing tackle football on Sundays in the National Football League, very dangerous. Working out, not very dangerous.
Is Jaden Daniels a finished product?
No.
Okay, so he needs reps. The preseason is a joke. He played 4 plays in the preseason this year.
So let's let him play more next preseason.
No. Preseason is ridiculous. Okay. Play him in these games and teach him to protect himself, which is what he has to do. The games are meaningless.
Okay.
And then the other thing I would do is I would try to find some depth on the defense. The defense is a disaster. It's one of the worst in the league. And they're going to have to clean out some of the people, like God bless Bobby Wagner, but he's got to go. And Daron Payne is going to go and players like that. And they've got to find guys who they can play next year. But that's what this last 6-game stretch is all about to me, developing Jaden Daniels further. And finding guys who maybe can play some defense.
By the way, Wagner made a hell of a stop at the goal line last week where he bowed up, squared up, and you're like, look at that old man strength right there on Bobby Wagner.
Great play, knocking the ball away from Waddle on 4th down.
He's still
got, you know, it's like Jordan. Jordan had a couple of monster games when he was with the Wizards. I think he had a 50-point game, but he wasn't Jordan anymore. It's the way it goes.
Are you under the understanding that next year is also flushed?
No, I don't think it's flushed. Why do you say that?
Look at the landscape of their roster. You just went through all the guys they've got to let go. There's no green shoots of grass beneath it poking up through the depth chart. They don't have a ton of draft picks. They have some money in free agency, but you and I know what a fool's gold game free agency is. This year, Peter is going for it like he did, which I don't think was the wrong move. You had to. Was a choice between either you can have this year or you can have next year choose. He chose this year. It crapped out. You already sold next year down the river because you re-upped a number of guys who are at the very end of their usefulness as key guys on this team. Well, that's the way I see it.
Because the roster was a complete disaster when they took it over in 24.
Exactly
so they had to do that. But how do you explain the Indianapolis Colts? I mean, that, you know, those teams, something happens in an off season that can change everything. And I don't rule out that they can get some key free agents. They've got to improve the secondary. That's terrible. But the main thing is depth, and you don't have to have expensive guys for depth. But what we're seeing is once, you know, they played this last game without 10 players who are going to be starters this year. 10.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. Half the roster wasn't on the field.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about another team that is just having a hell of a season, the Cleveland Browns, and one Shedeur Sanders. Not only did Shedeur Sanders have the lowest passer rating in, like, forever in his brief relief stint and their loss to the Ravens, but his home was burglarized while he was playing, and nearly $200,000 worth of stuff, I'm sure a lot of high-end luxury Louis Vuitton bags, maybe some jewelry as well, was stolen by the thieves. That's a bad week right there. Are you not amazed that pro athletes haven't figured out this whole, hey, they know exactly where I'm going to be and it's not at home on Sundays, I should probably have a few people there and a few people with a few dogs there as well. Cameras and security systems are not enough.
I don't know why they don't all live in gated communities.
You know, we that's another good one right there. Yeah.
The Sean Taylor tragedy was related to that. He did not live in a gated community. And some guys who had been in his house for a birthday party for his sister saw how much cash and jewelry he had lying around, thought he wasn't there because, you know, the team was playing in Tampa. He was hurt. He didn't go with the team and he was home. Joe Burrow had this happen to his house, and his house, you saw a lot of them in the quarterback series on Netflix.
Well, right? he had somebody there, his girlfriend, who was terrified and called 911 while the burglar was in process.
Yeah,
it's just kind of nuts. It's terrible. Shedeur is bad right now. Dylan Gabriel is also bad. How they end up, it's only a matter of time. We'll see. I would say I'm very dubious that Shedeur is going to be an NFL quarterback. Too much street ball, run around, whoop, 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 and just throw it kind of stuff that worked in college in Colorado. It's not going to work in the NFL. But there's one media person who is all over Shedeur. Like, she is the unofficial Shedeur apologist, sort of like Skip Bayless was with Tim Tebow, and that is Josina Anderson. Remember her?
Yeah.
Have you seen how into Shedeur and how defensive of him she is?
I don't follow her. I do know her, though. She was an intern on the Tony Kornheiser show once.
Really?
And a track athlete at North Carolina. She's friends with James Brown. That's how she got connected to the station. I've not seen that. Mel Kiper hasn't given up on him either. You know, Mel's not giving up that shit either as well.
Bless Mel's heart. You and I love him. He's a good man. He has burnt his credibility to the ground on this one.
I don't know about that. He's missed on this one, it appears. But here's what I see in Shedeur Sanders. Do you know how many coaches he's had since middle school?
Quite a few.
Two.
Right, his dad. Yeah.
Right? That's it. His dad was his coach in high school. He took him with him to Jackson State. They went together to Colorado, and now he's in the NFL. How many quarterbacks in
NFL
have had two coaches between middle school and the pros?
Hold on, Andy.
Yeah. You not hear me?
No, I am, but I'm trying to figure out where that sound was coming from. Okay. All right. Yeah. So, right. He's only been coached by his dad.
Yeah. So why would you think that there'd be this great adjustment? You're also hearing, and this could be what happened with who was the quarterback that they had, the one who died tragically.
Dwayne Haskins?
Dwayne Haskins. Yeah, the coaching staff didn't want him. And the owner hopped off his yacht and said, draft him, because he went to the same high school as his son.
Yeah.
And that could be with Stefanski, too. Maybe he didn't want him. The owner took him.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Josina Anderson was ripping off posts on X throughout the second half in support of the rookie. When he made mistakes, including a bad interception, the veteran NFL reporter noted he had not had any first-team reps practicing this season. And when Sanders converted a third down late in the game, she described the routine completion as, quote, against all odds. In response to a YouTube and X post on Tuesday, Anderson addressed these criticisms, and she doubled down, saying that the Browns' decision to prioritize fellow rookie Dillon Gabriel throughout the season was negligent and questioned whether head coach Kevin Stefanski is fully committed to winning games if it means playing Sanders.
Well, you know, what I know about backup quarterbacks is they don't get reps. That's why it's a good idea to have a veteran who knows the system and can step in.
Yeah.
And so for half the year, Shador was the third string quarterback. Dillon Gabriel was the backup to Flacco. And so how many reps are you going to get as the third string guy? Then you get promoted to second string, and there are only so many reps. And I remember hearing Joe Theismann say, I made sure my backup didn't get any reps for two reasons. One, I needed as many as I could to get ready, and I wouldn't give him a chance to take my job.
Old Joe. Don't say that about Joe. Joe hung the moon for me. He's my boyhood quarterback. Will always
right.
be.
I'm just saying, that's what he said himself. He said that's why he never gave up a first-team rep when he was the quarterback.
Yeah. All right. Then there's this. Did you see the interview and the criticism in some quarters of ESPN for putting Tony Dorsett on camera when College Game Day was at Pitt last weekend for their game against Notre Dame, because Tony Dorsett is not in a good mental state after his career as an NFL running back, and he appeared dazed and he lost his train of thought. Jeff Perlman was quite critical, saying they should have known ESPN that he was not in good shape and they should have worked to protect his image instead of just putting him on TV.
Yeah, I don't know if the producer had talked to him in advance or how that worked, but I remember this. Maybe it's even still up on YouTube. I think it was a Rose Bowl. Keith Jackson was dragged onto the set. And boy, Keith Jackson was very low on fuel at that point.
Oh, boy.
And nobody wanted to see Keith Jackson in that state. And I remember thinking, what producer did this? Just for the nostalgia of that? Terrible.
It's a tough call. On the one hand, okay, the guy has cognitive issues. That's very sad. But we're not going to treat him as an unperson. We're not going to treat him like he's dead. This was a big weekend. He was a big star at Pitt, obviously. So if he's at least within range of whatever. I mean, they had Lee Corso on the set well past his prime, right?
But they had him protected. Kirk Herbstreit was next to him.
What do you mean protected? He had a lot of moments where you're like, damn, Lee, it ain't happening.
Yeah, well, in that case, he was being paid and wanted to do it. So I don't know. The Dorsett thing, yeah, I mean, I could be convinced either way on that. But if I were the producer and I saw the state that he was in, I'd say, probably not. I don't think it's good. We can show him on camera, but I don't know about interviewing him.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good idea.
And then, as if it can't get any weirder down at Chapel Bill, guess where the all-time playoff-winning coach in NFL history, Mr. Six Rings, although eight if you count as two with the Giants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where was Bill Belichick this weekend? He was supporting his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, at her adult co-ed cheerleading competition. It's like community theater, but for cheerleading. And there was Schlumpy Bill schlumping his way in. Oh, that looks pretty good. Well, the routine was great, honey.
Did you see what she looked like, too?
Oh, she looked like a teenager.
Well, she's 25 years old. They had her dolled up like JonBenet Ramsey. It was horrendous. Yeah.
What is going on? And you couple that with his harumphy blow-through handshake with the coach at Wake who beat him, and his whole mythology is burning to the ground right now.
Except that there was, at least from some people, serious talk that he might be a candidate for the Giants job to the point where he had to deny that he had interest in it. I guess by winning four games, North Carolina has enough to keep him, or, you know, the buyouts. Well, his buyout is nothing. I don't know what their buyout is.
Forget buyouts. How about the fact that he is going to adult cheerleading competitions support his child girlfriend?
The whole thing has been bizarre from the beginning. This is a guy who didn't like any distractions of anything.
I know.
It's so bad. He lived in his office.
I know.
And now he's got this, it's a girlfriend. Yes, it's truly a girlfriend. He's 72 years old. It's crazy.
It's so dumb. All right. Anything else before we wrap it up today, Andy?
Trying to think what else have been I've been obsessing about. Oh, Mike Locksley is staying. Does that anger you as well?
No, I don't give a shit about Maryland football. You do. You're a season ticket holder. Did you let your voice be heard? Did you want him gone?
No, I did not. And
because they won't get anyone any better.
Well, and Jim Smith is doing the right thing. He's saying we're going to give you resources. And if, you know, he didn't say this, but he didn't give him a contract extension either. If things don't get better next year, you're gone. And I think that's the way to do it. But I like Mike Locksley. And I also like the fact that he's committed to the school, like Gary Williams was. I'm not comparing their coaching abilities, but like Gary Williams was to Maryland, he left a great situation at Ohio State to come rescue his alma mater.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Glad we caught up this week. Better late than never. And bye week for the Commanders. What will you do with your Sunday? Red Zone with Scott Hansen?
Yeah. And then my uncle is celebrating his 90th birthday, so we're going to have a brunch for him.
Nice.
Mazel,
mazel. Who was it that just turned 100? Dick Van Dyke? Did I see that right?
He's about to turn 100, and I've got my fingers crossed because Bob Barker got like within 10 yards of the end zone, didn't make it.
Betty White got right down to the 1 yard line, stuffed at the one.
So I got my fingers crossed, but yes, I hope Dick Van Dyke does make it to 100. The show that he did with Barry Tyler Moore is one of the greatest sitcoms ever done, ever.
Yeah. By the way, I referenced the spinoff the sequel to that, where at the end of the show, it was all a dream.
Oh, that's, that was not Dick Van Dyke's show. That was, that was the Bob Newhart show.
Right.
It was Newhart. And that's the greatest ending ever to a sitcom, bar none.
Yeah. He woke up in the bed with Suzanne Plachette and he's like, I had the weirdest dream.
Yeah.
Everything had been a dream the whole time. Yeah.
I love that show. And I read about that. It was filmed before a live audience and they had no idea what was going to happen there. Right. And I'm trying to think. The people on the set didn't know either. What was going to happen in that. That was great. Yeah. Tremendous. Yeah.
I use that as a reference to what happened to the station I was working at in Milwaukee. Like all of a sudden you wake up, you're like, was the last 6 years just a dream? I don't know. But it's gone now.
Well, I mean, what is your identity now? I mean, you don't really have. Do you have a Milwaukee identity? You built up a following there, and it wasn't just with that station. So, what is it now?
My identity is me, Andy. You know,
I understand. People understand, but
where's my allegiance? You're saying, where am I based out of? To what king do I answer? Is what you're asking?
Well, no, you've had a career which is I think somewhat unique. Is that a right term? Because if it's unique, it's like one of a kind, right? So whatever it is,
yes.
It's two markets. How many people have that? There was a guy years ago, I don't know whether he's still in the air or not, named Tom Joyner. Remember this?
Yeah, he flew from Chicago to Dallas.
Every day.
Every day. Before you could do shows remotely,
yeah.
Flew. Every day, racked up a billion miles.
He did a morning drive show. I thought it was Dallas and then Chicago in the afternoon. I think
It was Dallas, Chicago. I don't know which was morning, which was afternoon, but it was all money and good for him for doing it. That's some hustle right there.
And to think, you know, that nowadays with the technology, he could stay in his house for both shows.
I know. So funny. Right. He's probably right now going, fuck, man, this was way too early. But then again, he might not have gotten the gig. If you could do stuff remotely, right?
Yeah, I don't know. But he also said that, you know, and I think he's right, when you get into a city, you get a feel for it. And
yeah,
I think
exactly.
That's
a thing too. No, my time in Milwaukee was great. I loved every bit of it. I don't know if that book is completely closed. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But I liken it to playing baseball in Japan. You know, went to play in Japan, and it was different culture. It was still baseball, had a lot of fun. Won some games, threatened for a championship, never really quite had the parade that we wanted to. But, you know, I'm now back trying to get a 10-day contract in the bigs. Still trying to squeeze out something here in the bigs.
But you had history at another Milwaukee station.
I did,
Yeah. Did your own show. So you had identity connected with that as well.
Yes. No, I know the market well, know the people well, love both of those things. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But it's getting late early, as they say, Andy. I look up and I'm 57. And I'm like, Jesus.
Right. Well, I'm 10 years down the road from you. And I'm at the point where whatever happens is fine. You know, if they say tomorrow you're done, I say, thank you very much.
I'm at that point now, but luckily I got this podcast. I've got some other golf shows and things going on. So yeah, I mean, if the right situation comes, then I'll be like, okay, let's do this, but it's gotta be right. You know?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. All right. As you said, Andy, and I would agree, I'm glad I had the career I had when I had it.
Absolutely.
Nowadays, man, it's a lot more impossible, basically.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, if there's a someone who's 25 or 26 years old, then run, go someplace else. Do not pursue this.
I'll just start your own YouTube channel, start your own podcast and just be done.
Like, you can't. That's yeah, you can. Problem. You can, but the problem is
getting noticed.
You got to be known. Everybody who's succeeded in this is known from another forum.
You could not be more wrong, Andy. There are podcasters that come out of the weeds and come out of the muck that you've never heard of because they're good, they're creative, and they get a following online, and they find out how to game the algorithm. They get followers and listeners and viewers. It can be done. Now, it's a ruthless and deep ocean of people out there, so you can't be discouraged by it. And that's only on YouTube. TikTok is even more crazy because I see TikTok channels in which I'm like, damn, these people are creative. Yeah. But they make money on it, though. That's the crazy thing.
I do my own show now, but my career was based on really working with people like you and Tony and others. I'm good as a second or however, you know, it worked. And so I don't know you have to really be confident in yourself. And
To
really believe that people really want to hear what you have to say.
Right.
I'm better at working off of somebody else who has something to say.
Right.
And so I don't know, you know, if I was launching now at 25, I'd throw in the towel pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, so may I ask, and I do like now the setup that we have here with your phone holder and everything else.
Yeah.
Dare I go one step further and try to get you hooked up with a better mic and maybe come to your house and get a little bit of sound deadening for your room? Or is that too much to ask? Because
I have this microphone here. You see it?
Oh.
Yeah. So
do you have a laptop?
Can it be hooked up to a phone? Because the plug I have doesn't really, maybe I can get it.
The problem is your phone is too old to take USB-C. There are microphones that can go right into your phone.
Yeah.
You don't have one.
Okay.
And that's not going to change anytime soon.
I have to get a better phone, too. It's an 11, so I have to
upgrade. If you can upgrade, that'd be fantastic. If you get up into the USB-C land, then I'll buy you a mic for $80 that plugs right into your phone, and then we'll be cooking with gas. So you let me know when that happens, if it happens.
Yeah, okay.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
So. All right, have a good weekend, Andy, and I will talk to you next week for our short week for Thanksgiving, all right?
Very good, Zay. Take care.
Hey, you know, some of my most cherished childhood memories are the photos I have from the holidays while growing up on the mean streets of McLean. Those pictures are everything. But here's the problem. In today's world, all of your family photos are trapped in your cell phone. Your mom would love to see those pictures of the grandkids, but when was the last time you actually shared them beyond a quick text? That's where Aura Frames comes in. And this is the perfect gift solution. You get the frame from mom or grandma, then you can flip those digital assets over to them all year long. Download the Aura app, connect to Wi-Fi, and you can add photos from anywhere, anytime. It's just one gift at the holidays, but you look like a hero 365 days a year. Unlimited photos and videos. Share effortlessly straight from your phone. The frame arrives preloaded in a premium gift box with no price tag. For a limited time, visit AuraFrames.com and get $45 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames, mentioned by Wirecutter, by using promo code ZABE at checkout. That's AURAFrames.com, promo code ZABE. The exclusive Black Friday Cyber Monday deal is the best of the year. So order now before it ends. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest. When I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie. You know, as if having Andy Pollin was not enough on One Zabe Cast, we've got the man about film, Matt Miller, flying in to give us even more today, because I couldn't let you go, Matt, a whole week without chiming in on a number of movies coming out and some incredible absurdity that I'm seeing out there about the movies, but also about your favorite sport, college football, which is hurtling towards the 12-team playoff with controversy waiting in the wings. You see the controversy coming, don't you?
My favorite, least favorite sport. Like, I love college football, but the highs are so high in college football, but the lows, man, the lows are really low.
Well,
and I think we're running towards some of that right now with this, the playoff and the way it's lining up. And I can already, it's like when Malik Willis came in to the Packers game this last weekend,
yeah,
and he threw the touchdown pass, and I was like, I can hear the "is Malik Willis better than Jordan Love" takes. I can already hear the talk radio callers in being like, Malik Willis should start every week. Jordan Love is a bum. And I just was like, I'm going to drive just straight into a light post.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say, idiot's gonna idiot. And all it takes is one touchdown from the backup quarterback to get people to start going off on that. But then again, smart people are also going to idiot when it comes to this, Miller, Matt Money. Okay, I sent you a link to a story that apparently someone in college football has proposed a 24-team playoff.
It's really enraging, and I can't believe we're at a point where I'm like, maybe we bring back the BCS. Like, maybe the two teams, maybe the weird like computer in NCAA HQ choosing the top two teams. maybe that was the right choice after all. Because now they're like 2014 playoff. And we got to have 10 of those teams will be SEC teams. And 8 of them will be Big Ten. And then the other 7 will be a handpicked chosen few that get to go to the Big Ten SEC Invitational National Championship. And plus 24 teams. When is this playoff going to start? September?
And then, a month ago is when it started. You missed the start of it.
It actually started in July. Yeah. And then, you know, we're talking about, we are talking about now how competitive is the first round of the NCAA college football playoff. There's already debate about if there is that much competition in that first round. So now we should have more teams into this. We should add more mediocrity, and not even fun mediocrity. I'm going on a rant here because you just opened this door.
Clearing out for you.
I am an underdog rooter. I root for the underdog in all situations pretty much. And in college football, that is very much the case. And in college sports in that case. And if you are deciding between a mediocre major conference team and a mid-major that played over its head, give me the mid-major that played over its head every time. Give me James Madison. Give me North Texas. And you know that's not what this expanded playoff would do. You know they would be like, give us that mediocre Missouri. Give us that mid-Nebraska. You know, because that's what they do in college basketball.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, should we bring in UNC Asheville who went 28-3?
No.
No. Got to get the 17-15 NC State. That's the ticket right there. That's what the people want to see. And it's just frustrating. And even more frustrating than all of that is that it'd be nice if the group of five met me halfway in this year.
In what way?
Because every time the group of five has that team, that one team that gets to make the 12 this year.
Like a Boise State.
So first it was Memphis. Memphis immediately loses. Shits the bed. The next one, South Florida. You are the chosen group of five team. Immediately shits the bed. Now it's Tulane. I'm assuming this week Tulane will immediately shit the bed.
Right.
And, you know, I am one of those people who's like, why does the group of five only get one team? Why can they not get two? Why are they only limited to this one? But this year is lining up perfectly for there to be a kind of mid-looking group of five team in that has like 3 or 4 losses and some superpower from the SEC, like a Texas or an Alabama, gets left out. And there's going to be so much shrieking from the Paul Feinbaums and from the ESPN talking heads of why is North Texas in the playoff, but Texas didn't, or why didn't Tennessee make the playoff? Fun fact, who has Tennessee beat? That's so good.
That's another fun fact. I know. But here's the thing.
And this is the thing where it's like I go on these rants and I get so angry at college football. And then Saturday rolls around and you watch the product and you're like, damn, this is fun shit. Like,
oh, yeah.
This is so good. Put it in my veins. And then immediately I get the withdrawals and I'm shaking in bed.
Except remember last year's first round of the playoffs sucked. They were boring.
Yeah.
There's one decent game and it was not even that good of a game. And that's also part of the problem, Matt, is that we want everything to be great all the time. Give it to me now. We are an unrealistic society, and that carries over to being sports fans as well. Sometimes the games are boring. Sometimes things are not exciting. It just is the way it is.
Super Bowl's a blowout. Yeah,
exactly. I'm old enough to remember a decade of blowouts where the AFC might as well have shown up to the Super Bowl in a clown car. Because they had no shot. But the tides turned, and that's the way it goes.
Where it's like, you have no idea. Like, the Super Bowl used to just be like a nice excuse to drink beer, because by the first quarter, it was a laugher.
And now
it's genuinely a competitive game for years now. I'm trying to think of it. Was the Panthers-Broncos, was that the last true blowout Super Bowl we've had?
Super Bowl results, Wikipedia. I believe the internet is open right now. By the way, Matt Miller has a wonderful Substack called A Man About Film. You should definitely check it out. Read his musings about the movie industry, as sad as it is currently.
Many we'll more to come now that it's getting to be Oscar season.
But there's stuff coming out. There you go. At A Man About Film on Twitter as well. So let's see, the last, you want to walk backwards through the Super Bowls to get to the last real snoozer?
Yeah, the last kind of bummer of a Super Bowl, yeah.
This year, when the Eagles destroyed the Chiefs.
But was that a bummer? Because that one was so
no, it was
fun
great.
We had not been able to watch a decimation of the Mahomes Chiefs.
Oh yeah, no. No. That game pissed me off because the Eagles were up at 34-0, I think.
Yes.
And I'm like, more. I was the embodiment of the Star Wars reboot
the Kylo Ren,
more. And then they let their foot off the gas and they scored 16 in the fourth. I was like, okay, boo, you suck. But whatever. Yeah, so that was the last one. Then Chiefs, Niners was overtime. Can't get much better than that. The Chiefs, Eagles was 38-35. Can't get much better than that. Rams Bengals was 23-20. Rams can't get much better than that.
That was a weird one where it was close at the end despite not feeling like it should have been.
Right.
If I'm remembering that Rams Bengals one, yeah.
Tampa Brady destroyed the Chiefs 31-9.
That was a tough one.
The Chiefs beat the Niners 31-20. Game was close until the fourth quarter. Then Jimmy Garoppolo unraveled and did what he does. The Patriots beat the Rams 13-3 in a game I left at halftime. I ailed the Super Bowl in Atlanta. You know why?
One of the most Zabe sentences I've ever heard.
Right. I wanted to be able to say for the rest of my life, yeah, Super Bowl. I fucking left at halftime. Boring. And you know, it was a huge mistake. Here's why. When I leave at halftime, the exterior perimeter of the Mercedes-Benz dome in Atlanta was all cordoned off with barriers, jersey walls, fencing, etc. And I was like a rat in a maze. I couldn't find my way. I like walked a mile to finally hail down a cab to get back to my hotel. It was a pain in the ass, actually.
Yeah, because the Super Bowl doesn't expect you to pull a Miami Heat fan on them. Like they don't expect people to bail early from the Super Bowl.
No, they did not. In fact, people that saw me out there trying to get out of the thing probably was thinking, are you running from something? Are you okay? Does somebody want
to
murder
you?
You
were a criminal, 100%. Right. They definitely were like tracking you and they were like, this man has drugs,
yeah,
right? That's
right.
What's happened here.
Right. But if we go back to the.
Killed a man and planted a body in a section of the stadium somewhere.
Let's go to the dregs of the blowout era in the Super Bowl. Started with the Raiders blowing out my Redskins in 84, 38-9. And then the following scores were as follows. I'll just read the scores. You can figure out the teams. 38-16. 46-10, 39-20, 42-10. There was a close one, 20-16. That was the Niners of the Bengals down in Miami. Then it was 55-10. They had the Norwood miss, one-point game. Skins classic. Beat the Bills soundly in Minneapolis, 37-24, 52-17, 30-13, 49-26. I mean, that's a span ending in 95, starting in 84. That's 11 years. Mostly dog shit Super Bowls.
And at least you're getting points in those games. Like, at least you're getting, like, teams scoring into the 40s. But
unlike
like, still,
the Rams and the Patriots, which was the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever, 13-3.
Yeah, that's got to be one of the worst Super Bowls of my life.
And,
right? The 13-3 one.
Remember how shitty the halftime show was Travis
that
Scott.
5?
I think it's Travis Scott and Maroon 5. Let me look it up. It should be here in Wikipedia.
It's not a good sign for Maroon 5 when you say the worst halftime show of all time, and my brain immediately jumps to Maroon 5, right? That had to be them. Like,
not a fan, Matt Miller?
It's like when people are like, flop. It's like, think of a big movie flop. Oh, Waterworld? That's the one?
Hey, Waterworld for the
wasn't
first...
Wasn't a flop, technically.
Well,
wasn't
a flop, technically. Did it make money?
It technically made money. But it was such a disaster to make and such a, like, utter... The expectations were so high, and the process of making the film was such a disaster that any, like, positive box office that movie got, no one cares.
I remember...
The legend was already written.
Right. I remember reading about how challenging and impossible it was, because they built an actual physical set floating...
Yeah.
On
water.
On a chunk... of the ocean, I believe off the coast of San Diego, that was protected by a bit of a sort of a tidal wall, so they weren't going to get battered with waves.
Protected, because that thing sank like four times in the making of that movie.
That's right.
I mean, there's a reason why they tell you, like, don't work on water and don't work with animals when you're making movies. Like, these right. are just guaranteed bad ideas.
But I did love the initial premise, and I love the first, say, 45 minutes of the movie. I love the concept. What if the Earth was flooded and people hadn't been on dry land in forever, and the few survivors figured out how to make some, you know, ramshackle floating living and existence where they're, you know, filtering their piss water and growing single lemons on a tiny tree.
If that movie came out now, film Twitter and like audiences would go nuts, because it's no CG for the most part. It's just actually they built these giant sets and these ships out on the water.
Yeah.
So it looks really impressive. You're like, wow, this is a really cool world. It's amazing. Like, I would much rather watch something like that now than these, they did the air quotes live action Moana that's coming out next year. They did a trailer for that. And you're just like, this is just all CG. This is just all glossy looking crappy CG.
Right.
What is the point of your live action Moana if it just is a different version of animation?
That's what I wanted to get to. So I've been seeing this, and I'm pretty sure my daughter Catherine's going to be all excited to go see it.
Oh, it's going to make $1 billion.
Right. And I will go see it, and it may be all right visually. I'm sure I'll take the usual old man nap on the impossibly comfortable.
The source material's good. The original Moana's very lovely.
Right. But people were saying, okay, live action. I don't think you know what that word means, because there is a ton of CGI in it, a ton of green screen shit. Oh, and absolutely. Some of the effects cannot be actually executed as physical effects.
Yeah, there's I think it was Variety magazine did like a look, compare and contrast the animated rooster or chicken compared to the live action chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's not a live action chicken. It's a CGI chicken. Unless you found a deranged, bug-eyed looking real chicken.
That's not
a live action chicken. It's like the live action Lion King that just made all of us lose our minds. Where it's like, ooh, live action Lion King. No, unless they taught these lions how to talk and how to reenact Shakespeare on the Sahara, it's not live action. It's just nicer looking CG. It's just nicer animation.
Right.
What are we doing?
Right.
Here?
It should be Moana now with 20% more humans. Yeah, that would be a more accurate advertisement for the movie. But people also said, okay, it's a shot for shot remake. So there's no extension of the tale, because there was a Moana 2. Which extrapolated the story of this young
$1 billion movie.
Hawaiian princess. Hawaiian or Maori?
I believe Hawaiian, like Pacific Islander.
Pacific Island generally. Princess. Yeah. Extended the story further. Don't ask me what that story was. I was probably napping when I went to see it with my daughter.
Oh, Moana 2 stinks and makes no sense. Yeah,
okay,
no,
right. So, but it's also not a prequel. So it's not a remake, reshoot, prequel, sequel. It's a shot for shot. We're doing this again, only with live action. Oh, there, I just triggered the confetti on the video screen.
The StreamYard is just so excited about live action Moana. It was like, hell yeah, confetti.
Right. And they said the first one came out 15 years ago. That's a blink in time.
I have terrible news for you, Zabe. It's not even 15 years
no?
ago. Moana came out 10 years
oh,
ago.
Oh, Jesus. I thought it was 15.
I mean, this was always going to happen. Disney has been eating its own tail for years now, where it's remaking its animated classics, its beloved movies. And they tried to dive deeper into their vault and do live action remakes of their less beloved movies. So stuff like Dumbo, which modern audiences don't watch. Snow White, iconic character. No one's really watching the original Snow White. Pete's Dragon, which is a great live action. It's the best of the live action remakes. But nobody saw it because no one had any affinity for Pete's Dragon. Most people have no idea what Pete's Dragon is anymore.
I don't even know Pete's
Dragon. Disney ran out of beloved animated movies to remake. So now they're like, okay, this one that came out 5 years ago, can we live? They are running out of tail to eat.
Right.
The snake has run out of itself to eat. And now it's just eating its own mouth. It is becoming a black hole of entertainment right now. where it's like, are we going to do an animated remake of the live action remake of the animated remake of Moana? Is that the future of this now?
Yes, like, a copy of a copy of a digital remake, now sort of live action CGI. I want to play this. You probably won't be able to hear it down the line. I'm just going to play a snippet of it, a minute of it, and then I need to know who actually made this. This was in the style of the Animaniacs cartoon series, right?
For fresh yes. New
shows. Okay. You can't hear this, can you? Hollywood
did the only thing it
knows. Murphy Brown, Melrose Place, Gilmore Girls, Lost in Space. That's so Raven's what they're craving.
I know that's a show worth saving.
I vote X-Files for a comeback.
Your company's still a real snack.
Would the Golden Girls be darker
if we resurrect B. Arthur?
Reboot it, renew it,
reshoot it,
redo it,
and reuse it,
retool it,
abuse it,
just view it.
If you want to make some easy cash, just recycle and rehash.
Repeat it, reinstate it, reheat it, recreate it. There's no need to feel frustrated. Simply just regurgitate it for a guaranteed rating smash. Dig it up out of the trash, come on. Just reboot it.
I mean, what a brilliant cartoon that is. It looks professionally done. Where'd that come from?
I am not sure where that comes from. There's a very good chance it might be some sort of AI thing. It might be that original Animaniacs on some level, because the Animaniacs were making fun of things like this. Like,
okay,
this has been a conversation for a while.
Okay, so then maybe it is professionally done, and that the Animaniacs goofed on their own industry and their own pretty much parent company, right?
Oh, that's what they were built on that. They were always making fun of the call was coming from inside the house with the Animaniacs.
Okay.
But you know what, the thing that sucks about all of this is that we talk about, you know, all they do is remake stuff, and this Moana is the opposite of art. It's the opposite of entertainment. It is literally just regurgitation on a plate. And we know it's going to make $1 billion. We know it is going to be one of the highest grossing movies next year, because audiences do like what is familiar. And sometimes they venture outside of that. And listen, I am guilty of that myself. I'm going to see Wicked before I see the hot new indie movie in theaters this weekend. That's, even I am susceptible to that. But on some level, we get what we want. We get what we pay for. And stuff like Moana makes $1 billion. Why would Disney take a risk on something weird?
Yeah.
You know, why would Disney take a swing on, you know, if we wanted to teach them a lesson, we shouldn't have made The Lion King $1 billion movie and Beauty and the Beast $1 billion movie. We probably should have seen more stuff like Pete's Dragon.
Yeah.
We wanted to encourage this, but we didn't.
All right.
And so, you know, that's
so
what we get.
Here we go. This was from Animaniacs season 1, episode 1.
Oh, wow.
And the satirical number performed by the Warner siblings, Yakko, Wakko, and Dot, pokes fun at Hollywood's reliance on reboots. The lyrics were crafted by the episode's writing team, while Wellesley Wild, the showrunner, contributed. So there you go. Real stuff. Fucking hilarious. And just skewering.
Episode one, season one.
Talk about coming in hot right away. Yeah. All right. So on the Wicked front, Wicked 2 is coming out, or Wicked for Good.
Yeah,
I'm a wicked stan, because I love the way this guy.
Sound like you're from Boston. I'm a wicked stan.
So I love the way that this guy, I think he was a theater writer, songwriter, envisioned in his mind an idea of, okay, how do we get to this point of the Wicked Witch of the West and Glinda and all this stuff? So he created in his mind the prequel to The Wizard of Oz. And he then went about pitching it, rejected all the time. Finally, somebody said, hey, I think we can make a musical out of this. The big studio wanted
a book first. Yeah.
He wrote a book first. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then he finally got a big studio. They're like, we want to buy it. And he's like, no, I can't trust you with it. And he turned down offers, and he stuck to his guns to be able to do it the way he wanted to. So it became this smash Broadway hit, which I did see with my wife and daughters.
Huge Broadway sensation.
Made gazillions and gazillions of dollars. And then they come out with the theatrical version of it a year ago.
A long-awaited one. Like, this has been 15 years in the making. Like, people, like, if you know anyone in your life who's ever loved musical theater ever, they have been waiting for a Wicked movie to come out. And I know they had been in the works for years, and I think there were some rights issues because Oz is this weird Hollywood rights thing where rights are like split up in multiple pieces. So like when they remade Oz a decade ago, the Sam Raimi one, they couldn't say things like the Yellow Brick Road because that's technically owned by another studio. Like it's that kind of insane semantic, we talked about with the Friday the 13th thing, where like Jason is owned by one thing, but Friday the 13th is owned by another. That Hollywood bullshit.
Yeah.
But yeah. So finally, Wicked comes out, and it's quite good.
Oh, yeah, I loved it. I thought the movie was great. Cynthia Erivo and that little
Erivo.
Erivo and Ariana Grande, that you know, America-hating donut licker, she was great, even though she weighs like 62 pounds now, right, you know, at this point. The songs were great.
Way in the wind,
The songs were great. It was great. I've seen a little bit of this one, and I'm already girding myself for it not to be nearly as good. It's unusual they rushed it out. I don't say they rushed it out, but they're releasing it just a year later. Normally they wait at least 2 years to run out a sequel, right?
This is the classic, what if we cut the thing in half? This is the Harry Potter, what if we cut the final book in two? What if a Twilight, what if we cut the book in two? And it never really works out. Except at the box office, except at the studio's ledgers, where like, okay, we made we sacrificed the art, we sacrificed the story, but we made a few extra millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, so it worked out in the end for us. Like the last Hunger Games stinks.
Okay.
They didn't even make the final Divergent movie. They split that final book in half and then bombed so hard at the box office they bailed on it. So they took the first act of Wicked the stage show and made that the first Wicked that came out a year ago.
Okay, but I'm not necessarily anti them cutting the baby in half if they infuse more detail and more time in both halves of the story. You know what I mean?
Here's the problem. Anyone who's seen Wicked knows that the second act of Wicked is the lesser act. Everyone knows that all the good, fun, memorable parts and songs of Wicked, they're all in the first act.
Yeah.
The second act is just the song For Good, and you can hear that song at every, you know, grade school graduation ceremony, and that's never happened ever since.
Right, every glee club from one side of the country to the other is all practicing defying
for
gravity.
Good at one another. Yeah.
That's right.
So everyone knows that's like the dirty secret that Universal's been trying to hide for the past year, is like being like, yeah, get excited for Wicked Part 2. It's the best. That kind of sucks. We have no songs to sell. But the Gambit kind of played off because the first movie was obviously a massive hit, gets a ton of critical acclaim, gets nominated for Oscars, almost wins probably a few. And now you've got built in, you don't have to do much marketing for this one because the marketing is you liked the first one. So you get people excited. You get people like raring to go to this one. You didn't have to spend that much. It's going to have a huge opening weekend. But I think anyone other than hardcore Wicked and Oz people are going to walk out and be like, diminishing returns. Like, this was not the good time. I was like, I'm having a bad time here. And so I think you're going to get an It Chapter 2 situation where everyone's going to see the second half and be like, no, pass, please. Never again.
All right. Let me end on this. In the increasingly consumer unfriendly streaming hellscape that we are living in, and I think you concur, it is a hellscape.
It is Mad Max Fury Stream. Yep.
I feel like we've caught one tiny break with how this YouTube TV Disney thing worked out, because not only is YouTube TV going to be able to show and display all the ESPN Unlimited stuff, so additional content that might have been kept behind the Big Mouse paywall, but they're going to be permitted to craft sports-only packages that will be less money than the full YouTube TV. That's what they say. They haven't yet rolled them out. It is a meager win, but we're desperate for wins. I will take it if that's what happens.
You'll take it until probably a year or two from now when they have this fight all over again.
And when they jack the rates up again.
Oh, 2 months after they announce them, that they're going to be like, look at this bundle, such a deal. And then like 2 weeks later, they're like, by the way, doubled the price.
What are you going to do about it? Took this away. What are you going to do about it? I've altered the deal. Pray that I don't alter it further. That's a terrible Darth Vader, by the way.
It's not your best.
No. But
I will say, last episode I gave Disney what for, and Disney deserves what for their part of this. Upon reading a little, it sounds like YouTube TV and Google were the real, like, kind of big head honchos here. Like, Disney was like, we love playing hardball. Disney was like an SEC team, and then they had to play an NFL team and got their ass kicked. Because Google is a tech company.
Yeah.
And they have a hyperbillion dollars. Media is like a tiny percentage of what they have. So YouTube TV, from everything I read, was like, yeah, we're going to have the best rates.
Yeah.
And when you give us the best rates, that means that everyone else's rates are going to have to match that. Like, we are going to blow that for you, for everyone right. else too. And Disney was like, well, okay, I guess
that
we
is
have to
funny.
Take this deal at some point.
That is funny that basically Disney was the king of the Mac, and then they got scheduled against an SEC power. And Google was like Alabama, and they're like, okay, boy. Let me show
it
you.
It is
the
a little
business.
Bit like the TCU Georgia national championship that 1 year. It was like, come on, TCU. Oh, TCU, please stop. He's already dead.
All right. Miller, as always, a pleasure. You can check him out at A Man About Film on Twitter or X. Get his Substack, A Man About Film. We are coming into the glorious Christmas movie season. I am here for it. I will be seeing a number of the movies that you see. We'll compare notes maybe on a future podcast appearance. How about that?
I would love to. I would love it, Zabe. I am here in my closet whenever you need me.
All right, out of the closet, Miller. I mean that literally, not figuratively. Thanks, buddy.
This has turned into an R. Kelly song.
He's got all kinds of time. He's got all kinds of time.
And that is a wrap for this Thursday, November 20, 2025. Thank you for downloading. And always, I appreciate the likes and the comments. It helps with the algorithm. I most appreciate those of you who subscribe to Fridays, in which you get Scott and Solly doing You Are Looking Live, which will be tomorrow. And you get this podcast Monday through Thursday with no commercial interruptions whatsoever. A great reason to find $5. $5, mister? Do you have $5 for El Baldo? Per month, that's it. And I've never raised the price, I never will. Just to keep the lights on, to keep the webcams a-streaming. Go to zabe.com/premium for more information on how to subscribe and to support. And I appreciate everyone who does. And I will see you people tomorrow on the Zabecast Premium episode. Until then, thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, and we will see you next time. You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit mybookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.